I am free, no matter what rules surround me. If I find them tolerable, I tolerate them. If I find them too obnoxious, I break them. I am free because I know that I alone am morally responsible for everything I do. And that was said by Robert A. Heinlein. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. And I've got a few different issues that I'd like to talk about on the air today, folks. One of them is, of course, rules, because I think we really do need to address this stuff and see this society for what it is. And I'd also like to talk about intention and the power of intention. I think it's very important, the power of intention and the power of imagination and the role these things are playing in our world today. But before I do that, there's just a few other things that I'd like to just touch on for a few minutes, and then we can return and we'll get back to some discussion on the power of intention. And I really do want this to be the main focus of the show today, because I think that now more than ever, it is extremely important for people to pay attention to what their intention is in all that they do. As I said, folks, I think now more than ever, people need to do this. Now, ever since I started doing these radio shows on American Voice Radio, basically I've been bringing you the same message. The message has been one of unity and individual empowerment and a series of presentations and what have hopefully been for people some deeper understandings of how the universe works and how reality works and what their relationship to reality is, because I believe this is very useful for breaking down division with people, and it's very useful for removing fear from the human psyche. And it's also been a message of freedom and brotherhood and a need to pay attention to what is going on in the world today. And I've been attempting to at least suggest some of the solutions that we may find to some of the problems. But by the same token, I've also hopefully conveyed to people an understanding that these solutions have to come from within. It has to be done by each individual out there listening to this, changing their heart space and changing their perspective of how reality works and changing things themselves on an individual level. And folks, there is most certainly a certain amount of urgency in us dealing with the problems that we face. And though the problems seem insurmountable when looked at on the playing field that we're given to look at them, because we're given a very compartmentalized playing field, but really when you step back a little further, I believe the problems have a simple solution, because I believe they are actually simple problems. It just depends on what your perspective of reality is. It just depends on what your perspective of reality and what your perspective of society actually is. And something else that I've attempted to bring to people during the shows and way back since the beginning is convey to you the necessity of restoring the unity to our community. The common unity to the community, after all, that is what the word is derived from. Community is derived from common unity, and that is what we are missing. And I've done this because I believe that it is only going to be through common unity and the actions of a united community that we are ever going to see any real change brought about. You see, the fact that a lot of people simply don't understand how reality works, and they don't understand what society is, and they don't see the social division and the social pathogens that are inflicted upon them. They live in a very, very divided reality, and so therefore they live in a very compartmentalized reality. And this is a real issue, and this is really one of the biggest problems that we face. Even within the alternate research community, there's very little unity in the alternate research community, especially these days. And I've spoken about that, and I've attempted to illustrate how we've been trained to always react to the problems we face in a compartmentalized manner. Inasmuch as we are always addressing situations which are serious problems in themselves, but we're failing to see that each one of these smaller problems is in fact a symptom of a larger problem, which is the system itself. And I've attempted to point out to people that the system has effectively constructed a set of rules which are basically designed to protect itself and tie us up in red tape should we ever wish to address the system, and that the only way we are ever going to find a real remedy from the situation we currently find ourselves in is by restoring this common unity and realizing the power that we have as a united people to effect some positive change. And that has essentially been the message that I've been attempting to bring to you from the very beginning, way back in 2008, when I first started making films and when I started appearing on the radio. And I think in many ways we've made some positive progress in this direction, but also it's very noticeable to see the amount of divisionism that has been promoted at the moment and the desperate way people, especially within the alternate research community, because they're not having any real impact against the meme that they're fighting, they are turning their attention to other researchers and attempting to harvest energy from other people, because that way they get more of a response. And of course, getting back to the main theme of the show today, folks, one would wonder what the intention of these people is, because the world is an energetic place, and we are always communicating with the field around us energetically. And that's why people need to pay attention to what they're doing. And one must really question what sort of energy these people are putting into the field, and even if they are aware of what they're doing. Because you'll have websites that are pretending to promote unity, but they'll have pages of hatred directed at other people. And you'll get people that attack you online and will bait you and bait you and bait you until you respond. And then when you respond, they'll go, aha, look, he's human. Which is very, very interesting how people do this. And you can see how the energies are shifting, and people are desperately trying to harvest energy from other people. And there seems to be an awful lot of this going on at the moment. The really sad part about it, of course, is when you see this happening and you imagine how much we could actually achieve if we were united and people were directing their energy against the real problems rather than each other. But unfortunately, we are not seeing this, and we are seeing a lot of energy harvesting happening, folks. It's happening not only in the alternate research community. It is happening on an individual level with many people that I'm seeing around the place as well, and many situations in many communities at the moment. And I think it's important that we pay attention and step back and view things from a wider angle so we can really see what's going on here. Things are just shifting. I was actually out driving through the country the other day, and you could literally feel different energies in different places as we were driving through this valley. And it felt like the residual energy of certain experiences that people within these areas had had. And it was becoming tangible and very noticeable. And I'm finding this with a lot of people. I think the energies are shifting within people, and people are becoming disconnected from source, and they're reaching out, attempting to harvest energy from other people because their reality seems to be slipping away from them a little bit. And I think we're going to see more of this, folks. I think we're going to see more of a separation of reality starting to happen, starting to occur as the energies are changing. I think things are going to expose themselves. I think that people with ulterior plans and ulterior motives are going to be exposed. I think all these things are going to come to a head over the next couple of years. And so just ride the wave, folks. If you're having trouble with people out there in your society and you're having trouble with certain energy vampires and psychic vampires around you, just try to ride the wave and realize that it's happening all over the planet. The energies are shifting, and there's certain, shall we say, dark energies and dark forces that are desperately trying to keep hold. And you're going to find a lot of people attempting to milk you of your energy at this particular time. But I think this is only because we are in a time of transition. We are in a time when dark forces are desperately trying to keep hold of human consciousness, because human consciousness is just skyrocketing. It really is. It's lifting off in an exponential way at the moment. I'm seeing so many people begin to wake up to how reality works, I'm seeing so much positive glow in the eyes of people that I know. And there seems to be much more positive things happening in the communities that I'm involved in these days as well. So that's a good thing to pay attention to. And it's important to understand that people are facing some pretty massive adversity at this time as well, but they're still keeping that positive attitude about them. They still have that positive shine in their eyes. It's just that there are forces that are surrounding them and energies that are surrounding them that are very much attempting to keep them locked down and keep them disconnected and keep them in a state of flux, keep them in a state of conflict. So I think it's important for people to understand what's going on here. Essentially, I just think it helps to be aware of the situation at the moment and not take things too personally when these attacks are directed towards you. And also be aware that a lot of the thoughts you may be having may be coming from external sources, a lot of dark, negative thoughts you may be having, and a lot of baiting that people are directing towards you may also be coming from dark external forces, and it's good not to enter into these debates. If you attempt to make your point and your point isn't made and it comes back as an argument, you really should step away. But it's getting more and more difficult to do this because the energies are trying to draw you in. They're trying to draw me in. And it's happening from all sorts of directions. And as I said, people then use this to prove to the world that you're actually human, which is amazing because it's what we've been saying all along, that we are all human and we are all in this together. And we've all got to stand our ground against these energies and these vampiristic tendencies that people are having, folks. Because the more you speak out and the more your message is true, you're going to find the more people will attack you and the more the energies will attempt to keep you down. And I really do think we're going to see an escalation of this over the next probably 8 to 10 months. So just be aware of that, folks. But as I said, folks, there is every indication that much of this is actually coming from sources external to the individual anyway, so it's very difficult to blame these people for their actions. And if you look deep enough, what you will probably also find is that if you react to a lot of the baiting that people are giving you, you'll find that a lot of your reaction may well be coming from sources that are external to yourself as well. So it's very important for people to pay attention at this particular time. Because the energies really are shifting, folks, and there are many, many forces at play here. Now, as I mentioned near the start of the show, I wanted to direct a lot of today's broadcast towards the power of intention and the power of imagination. I think these are two very, very powerful and very underrated parts of our psyche. Well, perhaps not underrated, but certainly overlooked, and they are two very powerful and very overlooked parts of reality. Really, if you look around you, everything that you see is a product of imagination. The house that you're in right now is a product of imagination. Someone had to imagine it before they could build it. I think I touched on this a little bit last week, where I mentioned the power of imagination, how we are quite literally living in a world that has been created via imagination. Everything that we've built, everything that we've made, everything this society has constructed, everything you're wearing, everything you're sitting on, the car that you drive, the house that you live in, the city that you inhabit, all of these things were constructed via imagination. And of course, imagination works hand in hand with intention. Because someone, of course, had to intend to build something, which is why they imagined what they were going to build. And as I said, intention and imagination are two of the most significant and important aspects of human consciousness. Very notably, these were the two main focuses of Gnostic teaching when they spoke about the need to nurture the human creative spirit. They spoke very much about intention and imagination, and these two things they termed as enoia and epinoia. Enoia is intention and epinoia is imagination. And what we have seen in our society is a hijacking of our enoia and of our epinoia, a hijacking of our intention and a hijacking of our imagination, And our imagination has, as I believe I also touched on last week, been very much replaced with fantasy. And that is a lot of the problem that we are facing in the world today, is that we are intending the wrong things in what we do, very often quite unbeknownst to ourselves. We believe our intentions are pure because we are operating within the parameters of the three pathogens that infect all of Western society. And our imagination has also been hijacked and has been replaced with fantasy. Thereby, we are never able to really achieve, with any real satisfaction, the goals that we set ourselves. We can achieve little goals, but it's never the way we thought it was going to be, because what we were given to imagine was actually a fantasy and was something that was not actually achievable. It always looks brighter on the box, folks, and when you get it home and unwrap it, it usually breaks within the first 5 minutes, and that's kind of the way our lives have been constructed on this same model, if you can understand the metaphor. And it's very important for us to become aware of these things, because imagination and intention are two things that can be manipulated and used as a control system, and this is very much the case. But because they are both such intangible things, and people don't perceive them to be systems of control, but they really are. And by hijacking our imagination, those who are in control of the planet are able to coax us into creating what they want us to create. And I'll probably have to go off on a little bit of a tangent here to explain what I'm talking about, but when you look at what's really going on the planet, and I've done whole films about this, I've done films such as The Calling and Fight the New World Order with the Global Noncompliance, where I spoke about the bloodlines that go way back to ancient Egypt and even beyond. This is essentially the Abrahamic bloodline, the Hebrew bloodline, which comes out of Egypt. Abraham, it would appear, actually usurped the throne in Egypt and changed his name to Amenemhet, and actually sat as a pharaoh on the throne for quite a while. His son Jacob was known in Egypt as Jacobar, and you'll find parallels to the Hebrew story, the biblical story. You'll find this in Egyptian literature. There's actually a film put out by a lady whose name escapes me at the moment called The Ring of Power. I believe it was a 4DVD set, was put out a few years ago. And she gave a very good breakdown of the way it all went down through Egypt and touched on the Book of Abraham written by Antonio Lobolo, who actually exposed the fact that Pharaoh Amenemhet and the biblical Abraham were one and the same person. And this line actually continued until Thutmose III, who exited Egypt, and it would very much appear that Thutmose III was in fact the biblical Moses, and that this Hebrew line still continues today, very notably in London at the moment, where one of the main presiding families of the line still sits in power. You will find the Sphinx of Thutmose next to the obelisk, which is actually Cleopatra's Needle, that they've got there in London. Very telling that they would have picked Thutmose to display there on the Sphinx, because it is the line of Thutmose that actually sits on the English throne. Of course, we've also got the Stone of Jacob, the Stone of Stones, the Stone of Destiny, also sometimes called the Stone of Scone, which sits beneath the coronation throne. And this is the very same stone that is recounted in biblical tales as the Stone of Jacob, that Jacob rested his head on when he dreamed of Jacob's ladder. And it found its way from there to a wall or a pillar in Alexandria in a temple, and found its way from there to England, and it's had a little bit of a history through England and Scotland, and it currently resides beneath the British coronation throne. Jacob, of course, as I said, being the Egyptian Jacobar, son of Pharaoh Amenemhet, who it would appear was the biblical Abraham, who held the throne in Egypt. This is the very same stone, and this is the very same bloodline. So as we can see, this goes way back, and there is a ruling hand that has been in place on this earth for a very, very long time. and they hold an enormous amount of power on this planet and control the system in very, very many ways. You'll find linked to these bloodlines, you'll find the banking cartels, the oil cartels. It's all one big family, folks. The Vatican money is looked after by the Rothschilds. It's the Vatican system and the church system that actually puts the monarchy on the throne around Europe and actually is the one that crowns the kings and queens throughout Europe. So it's all tied together, and it's a very, very powerful controlling hand. The same hand controls the media. The same hand puppeteers most governments around the world. And there is this huge control system that's been put in place. The one wild card in the whole thing is the people, because they really never know how the people are going to react. They've done major studies on how people should react and how they expect people to react. There's been people such as Edward Bernays put out books such as Propaganda. There's been the work that was done by Sigmund Freud, his uncle. And there's been an enormous amount of study done into human behavior and how to mold human behavior. But really, we're not quite as moldable as they would like, and certainly not as much as they would have us believe. Indeed, we do see vast amounts of the population that are herded into situations and corralled into certain ideals. But on the whole, it only looks to be organized on the surface. Really, when you get inside and you look at the people individually, you find that most of these people are reasonably discontented in the way their lives are controlled. They may be contented in some aspects, but they're discontented in others. And if any of them are given time to think, they can look below the surface and see that something is definitely not right. The only way we are able to be controlled the way we are is via the parameters of the system that's been put in place, and that only takes a few people really to control it. All you need are politicians who can draw their little boundaries and write their little rules, and you need a police force to enforce what these people say. This is all done through indoctrination. The people, the politicians at the top, are highly paid to follow the agenda, and the police usually come from certain sections of society. They've had troubled youths, they've had a chip on their shoulder, they've had a hard time at school, and they are groomed for the job. They are selected from certain cross-sections of society that are going to fit the bill, and so they carry out the will of the politicians without a question, because that's the sort of mindset that they have. But ultimately, if you can really look at it, what it is, it's a system that's run by very few people, and it only really looks like it controls everybody on the surface. I mean, it does to a certain degree, and it controls them in certain aspects, but like I said, when you look deeper within, you find that the individuals within the system are very, very dissatisfied with the way things are. And that's the wild card, because it's almost like a tinderbox ready to explode. Any moment, it would just take one spark, at any time, if it was the right spark, and the whole thing could simply flare up out of control. And that's the big fear of the elite, is the uncontrollable nature of the people and the unpredictable nature of the people, because they really don't know what's going to happen next and which way we're going to step when they bring the next phase in to lock us down, which is what they're doing. And we've seen this happening for quite a long time now, folks, these incremental steps that are used to lock human consciousness down. And it's very powerful, but what I'm attempting to say here, what I'm attempting to point out, is that it looks powerful on the surface, but really it looks more powerful than it actually is, because there is always the wild card of human expression, human creativity, and human unpredictability. No matter how many studies they've done on us, folks, we are still an unpredictable species who is liable to react in adverse ways when pushed into a corner too hard. And that is why it is so important for these people to control our imagination and to control our intention. And they control our intention by shifting our focus from what is real to what is fantasy, and shifting our imagination from what is real to what is fantasy. They can shift our intention because really, when you look at the relationship that we have to the planet, our intention really is one of good. I think we are basically good creatures and good animals. I think if left to our own devices, we would simply want to do good things. You know, we're nurturing, we're caring. You know, in a situation of crisis, you'll find people always help each other. It brings out this in people because that is their natural instinct. And that intention has been shifted to focusing on one of the pathogens that infects us, the pathogens that are the basis of our civilization that I spoke about a few weeks ago, the economic pathogen, the social pathogen, the religious pathogen. They shift our intention to one of personal gain. And they do this by controlling our attention, by keeping us always in scarcity and always in shortage and keeping us always measuring ourselves up to certain rungs on the social ladder. And by doing this, by capturing our intention, they are also able to capture our imagination. And it works on a deeper level as well, because through our imagination, we can be coaxed into creating the future that they want us to create. Because that is the power of intention and imagination. That is the power of ennoia and epinoia, which is why the ancients focused on it so heavily. And it's why we need to be very, very careful of what we buy into and what we are prepared to believe is possible. And it's very important that we don't give the controlling hand too much credit for how much they control us, because they control us through a system which is essentially fiction. But through our imagination, we have the power to change that. But there also is a danger that our ennoia and our epinoia can be captured and bent to their will if we are unaware of the hand that is guiding us. And that's something that we need to pay attention to. But I think it's break time here, folks, so I'm going to have to leave it there for now. But I think it is an important issue, and I think it needs more attention, and that's why I'm attempting to give it some today. But we do have to take a break now, folks, so I'll leave it there for now. And thank you for joining me on the show today, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So by capturing the power of our intention and the power of our imagination, it's very easy for the powers that believe they be to control the direction human society goes and control the direction human consciousness goes. And it's also very easy to convey the concept of a virtual control grid that people believe is real. A virtual control grid that really only exists in the minds of the people. And this is achieved by removing the people of any knowledge of the real power that they hold, the real knowledge of their own personal identity, the real knowledge of how people are connected to the universe, and the real knowledge of the power of their intention and imagination, the power of their ennoia and epinoia. And if you can convey to people the concept that the government is all too powerful for you to ever stand against, and that the whole legal and social systems and economic systems and the whole pathogenic society inflicted upon us is real, then the power of our imagination will make it real. And we can also imagine these people to have far more power than they've got, and thereby grant them that power and create that power for them through the power of our imagination, because it is imagination that creates everything. All of the wonderful things that our society has built have been produced through imagination, as have all of the horrors and atrocities and abominations that we find in the world today, all of the wars, all of the death and destruction, the prison systems, the jails, the torture, the hardship, the poverty. All of this has been created via the power of imagination as well. So it's very important for us to pay attention, because most certainly there is a control system there. It's an ancient bloodline that goes back centuries. But it's also very important that we understand how they control us and how they are attempting to control us in other ways. And it's very important that we don't give them too much credit and thereby create the power that they desire for them. Because we have the ability to do that. The ability of imagination to manifest things into reality is extremely powerful. And it's important that we be aware of this in what we think and what we believe is possible and what we believe the controlling hand is doing. And look, they are putting together a massive control grid and a massive global police state, a massive corporate-controlled global police state. That's really what we're seeing. We're seeing the New World Order, and what the New World Order is essentially a corporate-controlled slavery system. You know, corporatism run rampant with humanity as the most expendable thing within its parameters. That's what we're seeing put in place. And the only reason it's being put in place is because we imagine the government has all the power that they convey to us that they have. We're fed all this stuff on the television. We're fed police shows which show these incredible forensic capabilities and all of the power of government. It's all designed at glorifying the police. If you haven't noticed, that's what most shows on television are about. Most of them are cop shows or hospital shows. You know, we're always promoting a need to succumb to the medical profession and do what we're told by doctors and respect these people. And we're always taught that police are the gods and protectors of our society, and they're all honest, upstanding people that go out and work really hard to make sure the right thing is done. That's the message that's conveyed to us by the television, which is complete propaganda and completely untrue. And even when you look at the propaganda on television, folks, don't listen to what they're saying. Listen to the subtext. Look at the message that the show is conveying to you. Certain lines that are dropped here and there, and just the way people are perceived and portrayed within the parameters of the movie or the TV show you're watching, that's where the brainwashing occurs. It occurs at a subtext level, way below the main dialogue that you're looking at. While you're listening to what's being said, you're caught in this entertainment mode, and you're being programmed by what's going on around you on the film set and what's happening in the contexts in which certain interactions are taking place. That's where the programming occurs, so you've really got to look at it from that perspective. But what I'm attempting to say here, folks, is that there are all sorts of mechanisms put in place to convey to you the concept of extreme power and ultimate power. You've only got to control the movies, and movies are controlled by a handful of people. And you can put Illuminati logos everywhere. You can make sure that the stuff is all pervasive. So it conveys a sense of total control. It conveys a sense of every single aspect of you being controlled by a powerful hand that is unseen. And look, this may be true in many aspects of people's physical lives, but they're conveying the concept that every aspect of you, your inner personality, your most personal thoughts and everything about you is controlled. And they're attempting to do this, folks. This is why they're merging everything together on the internet. Add your phone number here. Merge this account with this account. We want everybody homogenized. We want to know every single thing you do online. We want to be able to trace it all back to the one individual, and we want to be able to know your innermost thoughts because of what you do online and how you spend your time online. That's what it's all about. It's creating a virtual world, then seeing how you participate in that world, which is one of the big things that they've done with the internet, folks. They've created a virtual reality, and they're watching how people participate in that reality. They left it very, very open for a long time, so people would start participating with their guard down. They'd start developing certain habits the way they do in the real world. And now they are starting to homogenize the whole thing and bring it all together, merge your Skype accounts with your Hotmail accounts, with your Facebook accounts, with your YouTube, with your Google account, add your phone number, create all sorts of social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, cross-reference all, see who is actually connected to who on which account. The people that show up on multiple accounts must be your actual real circle of friends. So they can start narrowing it all down now, folks. This is what they're trying to do. Know which bank accounts are connected to what. Know everything about you. Know your whole online personality so they get a better understanding of who you are. That's what they're trying to do with this. And so it's good to be aware of this, but at the same time, you cannot allow these people to have more power than what they actually hold. You can see by their attempts to do this in the virtual world that they really don't have the power that we perceive them to have, because if they did, they wouldn't be attempting to consolidate all this information now. They'd already know it. But it's important to see what they're attempting to do, and so it's therefore very important for us to right now remember the power that we have and to start making some noise and to start holding these public trustees accountable for their actions. You see, we don't have to follow their rules, folks. Their rules are just stuff that they put in place. That's what governments do. They go into big buildings and they start writing rules in books. That's all government is, folks. It's just a bunch of rules that are written in books. People go there and they start discussing these rules and they start discussing how to make new rules. That's all politicians do, folks. Otherwise, they wouldn't have a purpose. They go there, they manufacture threats that don't exist. They may be threats within your society or international threats, war on terror, war on poverty, war on whatever. They'll just declare war on anything they believe will serve them so they can start making rules about it and thereby extract more wealth from the population. That's the whole purpose of government, folks. It's simply a mechanism that is used to impoverish the people, extract all their wealth from them, and lock them into a slavery system. And we don't have to go along with it. What we have to do is remember who we are, and don't imagine that these people have more power than what they have. We have to focus on our intention. We have to intend a better world and imagine what we can do to fix the situation that we're in, because it is fixable, but it can only be fixed by us, and that can only happen when we wake up and realize the power that we hold. Realize how our imagination and our intention has been captured, and refocus ourselves back in the correct direction. Refocus ourselves on creating a better world, refocusing ourselves on our own personal power, and beginning to realize and truly understand what this power is and the ability we have to create some real effective change, should we simply begin to participate in the world in which we live. Because that's all it's really going to take, folks, is participation. We've got to remember who we are and what government actually is. They're just public trustees that write rules in books. And when these rules can be seen not to benefit society but to hinder society, then steps need to be taken to address this situation. And again, folks, it all comes down to us remembering who and what we are, because that is where the remedy lies. That's the thing with rules, folks. They only work if you obey them. But if rules stand against what is morally right, then of course such rules should be broken by matter of course, and those who implemented those rules and inflicted those rules upon society should be most certainly addressed and held accountable for their actions. But that's something we don't do, folks. We just don't hold our rule makers accountable for their actions. And I'm not saying that we need to prosecute them or anything like that. I'm just simply saying we need to address these rules that these people put in place, and we need to examine all rules and all laws, or so-called laws, all pieces of legislation that are inflicted upon humanity for their validity, for their compassion, for their benefit for humankind. And if the rules that are imposed upon us do not benefit humankind, do not benefit reality, then most certainly these rules and laws should be dismissed, disobeyed, and discarded by matter of course, as to do so is simply the actions of a moral and upstanding mind. It isn't moral and upstanding, and it isn't right to simply follow every rule that's given to you. It's important to understand that these rules are implemented by public trustees, and that if they do not serve our society and serve humankind and empower humankind, then such so-called laws are of no use and obviously benefit only those who impose them upon the rest of the world. And a lot of the problems that we see in the world today actually come from our willingness to obey virtually every piece of legislation that's handed to us and called law. And when we attempt to address the many problems we face, we have been conditioned to think within those parameters and to believe that we have to operate within those parameters. But it's a psychopathic legal system, folks, and you're never going to fix the problems. We are never going to fix the problems that we face in this world today if we operate within the parameters of the legal system. What we have to do is to look at where the legal system comes from and understand what our relationship to those who constructed the legal system is. I've gone through this on so many shows, folks. I've spoken about the trust agreement that exists between ourselves and government, and it goes above trust law. I'm not talking about any type of law or any type of man-made construct. I'm simply talking about the fact that all of mankind is of equal standing on this planet, and that those that we elect to office in our governments are simply those that we entrust to manage our future and to manage the infrastructure of our society for us. And what these people are doing right across the world is they are extracting the resources of the planet, and they are stealing the wealth from the people. They're impoverishing the people, and they are doing it by running a system of slavery, which is what we have, folks. We've got a system of debt slavery that exists right across the Western world. And really the only people that are free of debt slavery these days are tribal cultures. And I'm not saying we need to return to being tribal cultures. I'm simply pointing out that we live in a situation of debt slavery that is being perpetrated by those we elect to office, who are in fact public trustees. And the reason we are never able to address this situation effectively is because we have forgotten that our relationship to these people is one of trust. It's a trust agreement, folks. As are all relationships that you have with anybody. It's all based on trust. And until we can look at things from this perspective, we're never going to find successful remedy in anything that we're attempting to do. For example, the coal seam gas issue. Very, very interesting issue. Very significant issue, very important issue. It's something that affects every man, woman and child on the planet. I said a couple of years ago that I believed it was going to be a mechanism that would be beneficial in uniting a lot of the community, and we've seen this very much. It has brought together many different sections of the community, and it has united them to a common cause, and that has been very good to see. But the problem is that when the people are addressing the issue of coal seam gas, they are still doing so within the parameters of the legal system. They're still doing what the government asks them to do to address the problem. But the government creates all of these laws in order to prevent people from addressing the problem. Whereas if people were to suddenly realize what their relationship with government is, that it is in fact a trust agreement, that we elect these people to office to act on our behalf, and they are failing to do so, then we could approach the matter in a different way. So what if we had a united community, that the community was united because it had learnt to respect each other, it had put down all the stuff that the people within the community have with each other, because they had all began to realise that all of this stuff is a result of this state of social scarcity that the government has imposed upon them, the result of the pathogens that affect them, the economic pathogen, the social pathogen, all of the things that the government has done, the uneven playing field that everybody's been forced to operate in. All these people have realized this, so they've put all that away and they've stood united as a community and they've approached their elected officials, their elected trustees, and they've said to them, well, if you're going to conduct coal seam gas mining in the area, we need you, our public trustees, to show us the document, show us the results of the study that you have done, which show conclusively, 100%, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that coal seam gas mining does not affect the water table. And we ask that you do this simply because water is the most valuable resource on the planet. And if you cannot show us the documents and the results of these studies, then you need to show cause why you should not be held in breach of trust and arrested by the local police and held in breach of trust and taken for trial. And if the local police officers are not willing to arrest you for breach of trust and hold you for trial, then we, the community, will seek intervention from an international court, and we will attempt to hold your government and this police force that is failing to uphold the will of the people accountable for human rights violations and slavery. I mean, it's a pretty strong attitude, but something like that would at least cause some public attention. And I'm not giving any credence to any international courts, folks. I don't think they're any more worth than any local or national court. I think the whole thing's fiction. But what we're trying to do here is gain some sort of public attention to this issue and help the public think about things in a different way. And even though these court systems and international court systems are fiction and they're a joke, those who run them would desperately like the people within society to believe that the systems are real. So if we call their bluff and start calling breach of trust and asking these people to show cause, then it forces these people into action, even if they are operating within the parameters of theatre. It still does force some kind of action out of them. But again, folks, we can only do this and achieve any type of result if we have a united community, and we can only have that if we have begun to respect and care for each other. Now, we've got to put down the divisionism, folks. There's so many people in the alternative research community now that are fighting and complaining about each other and airing their dirty laundry as much as possible, and it's just shocking to see. It's never going to achieve anything. It's divisionist mentality, folks. Divide and conquer. That's what the powers that be, or powers that believe they be, would like us to do and would like us to continue. So people really need to be careful of what programs they're running, because there are a lot of programmed people out there these days. And everything seems to be coming to a head, folks, and I really believe we've got to put down the differences and start standing together as one united front, because that's the only way we're ever going to be able to bring about some positive change. We've really got to put down the divisionism, put down the hatred, stop judging people, and find some positive path to move forward. But, you know, the only way we're going to do that, the first thing we have to do, if we are going to move forward, is we have to rein our public trustees in and set the ship of state sailing back in the correct direction. We've really got to take the matter in hand as a whole. There's no good starting alternate communities. We've got to fix the one that we've got, and that is really going to take positive action by the people. So we need to find a way of implementing this positive action. We need to find a way of creating some sort of united public front that can take the bull by the horns, so to speak, and address this situation as publicly and as eloquently as possible. It really has to be done, folks. We have to stop being so politically correct in what we do and what we say, and we have to start calling a spade, and asking these perpetrators and these psychopaths who currently run the global slavery system to show cause why they should not be held in breach of trust. I think we can do it, folks. I really do, because everybody in the community has some sort of a problem with government. Everybody is in a state of hardship, unless it's some corporate head who is spending their lives ripping off other people, but then they're probably part of the psychopathic mentality. But the normal people in society, people just in everyday life and everyday jobs, just living within the parameters of this system, every single one of them is in a state of hardship due to the imposition of this economic model, due to the encroachment of more and more laws and more loss of rights and loss of liberties. And we need to pay attention, and we need to change the direction we're going in, folks, because we're the only ones that are going to do it. But again, we've got to realize what the real methodology in doing this is, because we can't do it within the parameters of the legal system. You've got to understand, folks, they constructed the legal system to protect themselves, not to protect us, not to protect society, not to put us in any state of peace or prosperity or protection via laws. They didn't create this legislation for that. They created it to protect themselves and to tie us up in red tape and force us into positions where we are unable to deal with everyday things that are going on around us. But they're only able to perpetuate it, folks, because we believe the system is real. We believe the whole idea is real. But it's not. It's just an idea. It's just a meme. And we can change it any time we want, but we can only do it through unity. The question is, why don't we unite? Well, we don't unite because our imagination and our intention has been captured. That's the thing. Someone was commenting on one of my YouTube videos the other day, and they said, same old solution, Max, but your solution requires people to agree, and they will never agree. And it doesn't actually require people to agree. It just requires people to respect each other. And I believe that once people understand how reality works and they understand what their relationship to reality is, as I've so often explained on the show, then they begin to truly respect themselves, and respect for others happens by default at that point. So I don't really believe that it's that difficult for people to respect each other. It just depends on their perspective of reality. And when one person is saying, you'll never get people to do that, what the person is actually saying is, you'll never get me to do that. Because you can't speak for everybody else. You can only speak for yourself. And very often people will not put down their differences and respect those around them until they receive that respect from them. And when everybody thinks this way, then nothing ever happens because no one's prepared to take the first step. But if you can see the value in the words that I've said and the value in the message that I've attempted to bring to you these last 5 years, then perhaps you can be one who will put down your differences and will start making a difference in your own life. Because it has to start with the individual. It has to start with you. And I'm living proof that it does work, folks. If you put down your stuff and you start respecting people, then the world changes around you. And look, sure, you'll get drawn into situations, drawn into confrontations. People do it to me all the time, and I still get sucked into it, and then I react, and they go, oh my God, look, he's human. See, Max Egan, he isn't this spiritual person that he claims. He's actually human. He has real emotions. Because that's what they do, folks. They push you to a reaction. And of course you have real emotions, because we are all the same. We all have the same wants, needs, desires. We all have the same shortcomings. We all have the same potential. We have different skills. We may not be equal in our physical capabilities, but we are certainly equal in our spiritual prowess. And I guarantee you, folks, you could get Mother Teresa, and if you bait her enough times, eventually she's going to tell you to fob off, because everybody has a point whereby they just say enough is enough. And I'm no different to that, folks. I don't claim to be anything special. I'm simply Max. I'm simply someone here offering you a perspective, and I'm honored that you take the time to come and listen to me each week. But look, I'm going to have to leave it there, folks. We've completely run out of time, and this is now the end of the show. Thank you for listening to me rave on these shows, and thank you for listening to the perspective that I offer you. Thank you for all the supportive emails that you send me. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. They're very few and far between, folks, and I know times are hard, so if you can help, it is very much appreciated. Any donations are always put to good use. I actually gave out quite a few hundred DVDs at a presentation that I gave recently, and that was the result of donations, so thank you for that. But we are out of time, folks. Thank you for joining me on the show today. I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take care. Until then, in Lakesh.